Steve and Dave again. We are two guys in a river. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
No doubt we all want to catch more fish. I want to, and Dave needs to.
Ooh, that hurts.
But we're all about fly fishing and our love for the outdoors. So let's get after it. I have to confess that I'm not one for making New Year's resolutions. Do you, Dave?
Isn't it a little bit late for New Year's resolutions?
Well, you know the old saying, better late than never, although maybe it should be better never than late. yeah, but technically, we are still in winter. We haven't hit the, what do you call it, the spring solstice? I don't know. It's you know, you get the winter solstice in December, but I don't know what
we're
it's
not
called
there
March,
yet.
So
first quarter of 2024.
Yes, there you go.
So, you know, I don't do resolutions. I do set goals in like four or five areas of my life. So I'm more of a goal person.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I identify some general goals, but I'm really not into New Year's resolutions. But I do make one exception.
All righty.
And here it is. It's for fly fishing. So this year I've come up with a handful of fly fishing resolutions for 2024, and I know that you have too. Because I ask you to do that. So, hey, a new year is an opportunity for a fly fishing reset. We're all glad we get those, if you fly fish the way we do. And anyway, we have some goals to go with it. So here are our resolutions, and hopefully there's something that it'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry, it'll, whatever.
Blah, but blah, blah.
Yeah, maybe it'll spark something. You'll learn something by accident, or you'll, maybe it'll make you think of some things that you want to do. So maybe this is one of those kind of inspiration, like an inspiration song, the pump-up song you listen to before you, you play basketball or whatever it is we used to do when we were younger.
Well, even though it's a little bit late in the year already, we're deep into first quarter here, but of 2024, but honestly, the main fly fishing is still in front of us for 2024.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So that's why this works.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So go ahead, lead us off. What's your first resolution, Dave?
So my first one is to learn how to fish lighter and smaller. And I know that as you get older, sometimes you want to fish bigger things that you can see. But, you and I both fish maybe 20 days a year, plus or minus. Some years it's more than that. Some years last year, because of the drought and the driftless, it was less than that. But the majority of these days are spent in the driftless region. We just had a episode on this, our previous episode. And so we're fishing spring creeks. And so these flows and the food, they're constant in these spring creeks. And you need to use lighter tackle and smaller flies to catch fish. It's just not like the West where you can float a number 12, big, hairy, bushy, dry fly out there and expect to catch fish. It's just not that.
So I'm going to be watching you trying to tie on size 22 BWOs, right?
Okay, listen to what I'm going to do here. Okay. So I've been thinking of, and haven't done it yet, but I'm thinking about adding 7X to my tippet.
Oh, wow.
Line.
Yeah.
So I have everything up to 6X right now, and I'm thinking about adding 7. And I realize I might be taking it too far at that point. But so I recently purchased some 20 size 20 nymphs. Generally for the driftless, I'm doing mostly 18s.
Right. Yeah.
And you can go 22, but I've never done that. But I've now started to purchase some size 20 nymphs. And for the first time in my life, I purchased some size 20 trico dry flies.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And you and I have both said, and we've been in the West and seen tricos out and said, yep, too small, not fishing that. I'll wait until the other bugs come out. But I just decided, I resisted fishing for when the tricos are out, just fishing with these smaller, tiny flies.
Sure.
And size 20 is probably too big for these tricos, right? So, but I just decided that in 2024, I'm going to try to go lighter and smaller. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be fishing 7X tippet with 20 and 22 size flies all the time. I'm just saying it's something I need to learn how to do.
Yeah. Well, that's some fascinating. So
anyway,
here's my question for you, Dave. Did you order enough extra? So if I say, hey, I see you're catching them on those on 7X Tippet. Can I borrow some?
Absolutely not. There's only enough for me.
that's what I figured. Okay. All right. Oh, so man. That's good. So we'll just volley back and forth. So here is one of my big resolutions. I think this is pretty significant, Dave, and that is not to break any fly rods. I think I've been...
That might be... Oh gosh, I don't know if you can do that,
Steve. I know. I think I've been on a streak of doing that. I just got back my Winston rod a couple weeks ago, finally. And finally, because I didn't get it sent in as early as I thought I would.
When did you break that again?
So I broke that last fall. I broke it in September. You know, it's the most fascinating thing. Do you remember a few years ago, I dropped my rod and hit the reel on a rock and it would bend the reel?
Yeah, that's
right. So then I thought, okay, instead of buying all these $159 reels, I'm going to spend $300, $350 and get one that's kind of bulletproof.
Get up that next level of fly reel.
Yeah. And I did, and I'm glad I did, but I have a... For my 9'6" weight, which I love to use in Montana, that's a Winston, that old Boron 2X. I have a Galvan reel on that, which I got at one of the Bozeman fly shops. Really like it. That thing is bulletproof. And if you remember, the last day we were in Yellowstone last fall, I dropped it and I banged the reel and I looked at it. Bulletproof, no problem, great. So the next day, remember, we're on the boulder, and as we were leaving, my reel fell off.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I realized what happened, that reel is so bulletproof that, you know, it just transferred the shock to the reel seat fell off. So anyway, I technically didn't break the rod, but had to get the reel seat replaced. Last summer, remember, I was in Alaska, I had a 9'8" weight, and my... nephew-in-law snapped the tip off, you know, in a big net that he had, and then my rod was in a rod holder at the side, but it was I don't blame him. I probably should have just kept it in the tube until that point. So I had to get that one fixed, and then my 8'4" weight. I'm actually on my second. That was fixed once, and then it was replaced a second time. That was the one where I dropped it. It was swept away
in Bear Creek in Colorado,
and it ended up breaking the tip off. It ended up in some kind of a brush that kind of formed a dam across part of the creek. So, and then the other rod, the first rod I ever bought. In fact, that was the one that I think I bought from Fins and Feathers. First rod that they ever sold was a 9'6" weight Orvis. I think then it was a silver label? Yeah, they had the Rocky Mountain for a while. Then this is a silver label. And one night I had it leaned up against my fly tying bench. And I went in the dark to get something, and I stepped on it and broke it. So, I mean, I have broken every rod that I have has either been broken or it's a new rod that replaced a broken one. So,
well, it could be a strategery, right?
Yeah,
to keep
yeah,
getting new rods.
That's true. You know what? The Orvis, the 8'4" weight, I had an Orvis, I think it was a TLS, which I really liked, and I was really sad. I thought, I hope I get that back. Well, they sent me a Recon, which is the same rod, but it was a newer model. I love that Recon, so I actually got a new rod. I was hoping that would be the case for the 9'8" weight. Really, what I wanted was not so much the new rod. I wanted a new rod tube, because the one I had the it was the old cloth,
and
at the bottom they get a hole in them, lose a section. So, but nope, they had the blank or whatever to fix it, so I got the same crummy rod tube back. But anyway,
you got to pay for that.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's a great resolution.
Yes.
So how are you going to make sure you keep the resolution?
I have no clue, Dave. I guess I'm just going to do what I always do. It should work, but obviously it hasn't. No, I'll probably be a little bit more conscientious about it. But that's the problem. It seems like you break rods in the dumbest ways at the dumbest times. I mean, you and I try to be careful, but good night. Even the last fly fishing little excursion we were on a couple weeks ago, how many times did you say, Steve? Because I had the tip once was jammed into the ground. You think I had just started fly fishing. So,
yeah. My son, Corey, who, gosh, he's 20 times the fly fisher I am. He's in his early 20s, and he does not take care of his rods the way I would. He never breaks them down, and he often will leave it in his truck fully extended for, you know, between fishing trips.
Yeah.
And I just like, oh, gosh, Corey, please take care of the rod. But I got him a new fly rod for Christmas, so, you know, once you get the warranty, I guess you're golden, you know?
Yeah, you are. You have to shell out a little bit of money.
$100 or $50.
Yeah, for Orvis or Winston now, it's close to $100. I think Orvis is around $75. I'm not sure, and I hope I don't have to find out
exactly.
This year. All right, so that's my first one. What else for you, Dave?
So another resolution, this really fits the category of resolution as opposed to a goal, because it's more abstract, I think, is to learn the double haul once and for all. The double haul cast, right? So I can do the double haul, but I do it poorly because, in part, I'm going to blame this on external circumstances. I just fish so many days in the driftless, right, on these small spring creeks, and there's never really a need for that 70 to 80 foot cast, right? You just don't have that kind of, well, there's not enough stream for it.
Right.
Now, I'm sure there are some places, you know, in some of these bigger, browner, more warmer waters in the driftless that do contain brown trout, that perhaps there's more time, you may have more space to actually do the double haul. But so I use a 7.5-3 weight that I love for the driftless, and gosh, I only occasionally need to cast more than 30 to 40 feet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There just isn't a lot of instances where you need to cast more than that. So I had a friend that recently went to New Zealand. He had to sight fish. And when you're sight fishing, you tend to have to cast a long ways because these fish are so spooky.
Yep.
And so I simply need to practice more. So one of my goals is, and I really shouldn't be doing it with my 7.5-3 weight. I need to be doing it with my 9'6" weight, right? Because you and I go out to Montana.
Well, yeah, and remember the day that we were on Quake Lake, and we were spotting, looking for rising fish, and boy, there were a few times where I felt like, man, I needed another 5 feet on that cast, or I needed to do it with ease. It needed to be second nature, but I was having to work harder than I should have, so yeah, that's a great goal.
Yeah, so I just need to practice more. I've been thinking about doing it at our local high school, which is about a mile away where all our kids have gone, and you know, on the football field, but there's not a lot of time in which that football field is not being used for either soccer practice, lacrosse practice, or band practice, or football practice.
Yeah.
But
it really ought to be used for fly fishing.
It ought to be used for fly fishing. So anyway, to learn the double haul once and for all. Okay, you're up.
Well, hey, these are impressive, Dave. I'm trying not to break stuff. You're actually having resolutions that have to do with growing as a fly fisher. Actually, this next one is a little bit more strategic, and that is my resolution is to fish runs in those small driftless streams from either above or below. I mean, I am so used to fishing runs from the side, and that's thanks to all those years I lived in Montana fishing those big rivers where, you know, you'd walk up to the bank and you'd cast upstream at about a 45-degree angle, and you know, no matter whether you're nymphing or you're fishing on the surface, you're fishing dry flies, you're letting it drift down in front of you, and then when it goes below you, maybe at a 45-degree angle, you're bringing it in. But I keep realizing how in the driftless, if you do that a lot of places, you're going to scare fish. Plus, I don't think it always gets your fly right along the bank where it needs to be. So, you know, we talked about this already. When we were in the driftless 2-3 weeks ago, I caught these three big browns simply by throwing a streamer downstream and then pulling it up right along the bank. And I thought, that's what I need to do. If I would have fished that from the side, I might have got a drift, but I don't think I could have got it as close to the bank because there's some brush. And then for dry fly fishing, so back up. For streamers, I think it makes sense to be, to be fishing. Well, let me think about this. Yeah, throwing a streamer downstream and pulling it back up. But for dry fly fishing, I want to be below the run. So I'm casting upstream and it's floating back toward me. And your friend Tristan did that really effectively. I remember you telling me you fished with him in that same one of those same streams we do. And just sneaking up from behind. First of all, I think there's less chance that you're going to scare fish. But even more than that, I think you get a lot better drift. So that's my other thing. Fishing runs in small driftless streams from above if I'm using a streamer, or below if I'm using a dry fly.
Good. And I think being thoughtful about that when you're out on the river, being able to make those kinds of adjustments is so important. And I've had a really good day probably 3 or 4 years ago. Oh gosh, it's probably 5 years ago. I was with my nephew, Stephen.
Yeah.
And we were out there, and it may have been one of the last days. It may have been last time there was a leap year, actually. Not this year, but every 4 years, a leap year?
Yeah, every 4 years.
Years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember having a day which I caught 7 browns doing exactly what you did.
Man.
Casting it downstream, letting it drift farther down, and then stripping it back up near the bank. So I love that. That's great. All right, so let's alternate now. My next resolution is, and this is, I don't know, this seems so noble, so don't think of it as noble. It is not noble. But just to deepen my knowledge on the science of fly fishing, and maybe fly fishing, the rivers, bugs, insects. So for example, dipping into understanding spring creeks more. So I think that's important. There's nothing really too technical, but just understanding, water temperatures better, understanding flows. We had a recent conversation, I think it was our last episode, talking about fishing in the winter where the seeps happen. Well, I did a little research on that to understand it better. So I just think a little, maybe deepen isn't the word, maybe it's broaden my knowledge. But to refresh my knowledge on bugs, I do not tie flies. I have never tied flies. I think I went to 1 or 2 fly tying classes and then decided I was going to buy my own flies instead of tying. Now you still tie. And notice we don't do a lot of episodes on actual fly tying because neither of us are fly tiers generally.
No.
And you are more than I am, or have been more than I am. But that means you still have to be up. You still have to understand the life cycle of the insect.
Yes.
You understand what they look like. You have to know where they sit in the stream, looking under rocks. All this stuff is really important. So I guess one of my resolutions is to get smarter and just read a little bit more on this. Watch more videos, perhaps.
Yeah, that sounds good. And then, figure out ways to pass it on succinctly to your fly fishing partner.
Exactly. These little tips. Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, hey, here's my next one. I guess this is my third. You've done 3. So here's my third. And that is to work out regularly, walking and lifting weights at the gym. And bottom line is I'm 62 and I want to stay in fly fishing shape. And I realize that at this point in my life, I have to pay more attention to that. I think the walking's good, but the weights are really important. And Dave, you and I have talked about this before. We're not trying to pretend like we're still 35, but good night at 62, we've still been able to do the things that we did back at 40 or 35. It just might take a little bit longer
sometimes,
but I really want to, stay in the kind of shape, just to do my part. There's things with our health that are out of control, but I'm gonna do that, so you can ask me about that. And
do you want to be held accountable, Steve?
Yes and no. On some days when I've worked out, yes, I do, Dave. On other days, yes.
I just find that, gosh, I have worked out for almost all my life, and I'm over at the sports center here in Wheaton. It's always three times a week, and sometimes it's four. And but I, every time I walk into that place, every time, I'm thinking, I hate this.
Yeah.
And I think I can't wait until I'm walking out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing you should know about me at the sports center, if I see you, I may not say hi because I don't want to be, in all the years I've been there, like 30 years or 20 years, I don't think I've made a single friend there because I don't want to look you in the eye. I don't want to extend my time. I just want to work out and go home. I don't want friendships where I work out. Mm-hmm. And which is interesting about the Wheaton Sports Center where I work, it's kind of for older people, and there's this great lounge area, and it's pretty much for people that like to lounge.
Yeah.
And they go there to quote work out unquote.
Right.
And they have coffee and you know, but that is not who I am.
No, that's not my third space either.
No.
I get it. My wife goes to a different gym than I do, and she loves it. She really enjoys working out. I'm like you. I don't hate it. In fact, I like the working out part. It's just getting there, and if I have to change, and yes, you know, the worst case scenario is you run into somebody you know, and I have to chit chat. Now I just want to get in, get out,
get home, done. Get it over with.
Right. Yeah. So that's why this is harder. And I'm just laughing because I think of I've got one of my sons-in-law who. Well, he played college football, and he just loves to work out. It's like, I couldn't do that. I think you have to be, that's another topic, to be a college football player, you're not playing football all year round, you're working out all year round.
Yeah, that's your commitment, That's exactly right. You're only on the field or playing the sport a really short time.
So I know I am doing this for my health in general, but I think the carrot that I dangle in front of me is fly fishing. You know, if we're going to hike some of the places we do in Yellowstone Park, I have to do this.
And that actually is the most specific thing. And there are, you know, the Driftless isn't that hard to fish.
Right.
But, I mean, it's flat. It's not really flat, but it's not.
Yeah.
And there's just, you don't go the distances. Like you and I, when we're in Yellowstone, man, we're putting on 8, 9, 10 miles a day. On some years we've done that. I don't know that we're still doing that, but... Yeah, the big...
But it's rugged, that's the
thing. It's rugged, so mobility is so key as we get older.
I know, a couple weeks ago on the Driftless, what did we walk? 3 miles?
3 miles, maybe. Yeah.
And it was a piece of cake.
Yeah, it was nothing.
And I didn't think I was in very good shape. I'm like, I didn't get winded at all. Where I do is when I go to the grocery store and I, you know, well, that's just different, you know. I just get worn out, but
go to Costco, man. You get lost in Costco. Man, that's no another 10-mile trek in Costco.
All right. Well, hey, you ought to have one more resolution.
I do. So my final one, which I'm not sure is final, but I do want to fish more with my brother and my sons, and I just haven't done that much in recent years. My brother Matt lives in Rochester, Minnesota, which is in the southeast Minnesota Driftless area. You know, within a half hour, 40 minutes, probably a half hour from where he lives, there's some great trout streams, and we have done it in the past, so it's not like we've never done it, but I would like to do it at least once or twice in 2024. And then also, I'd like to fish with Corey. You know, he lives at home now. He's graduated from college and has a good job, but we told our kids that after college they could live with us for up to 2 years if they wanted to kind of get their financial feet on the ground, and so he's doing that. And so... But he often will go to Michigan with his friend. They were just out last weekend. He'll go for the whole weekend, sleep in his truck or his friend's van. And they fish, and they'll do it for steelhead, for bass. They'll do it for trout. But he and I don't fish together. It's in part because of our sequence. He just can't take off during the week. And so anyway, I would love to do a little bit more of that in 2024.
That's man, I get that. I'm the same way. I would love to get out more with my sons, Ben and Luke. And challenge is their schedules. You know, they don't have the flexibility that I do. And so my son Ben and I are trying to plan a trip to the Driftless sometime, and his wife Nicole likes to fly fish. She might come with us. So probably that'll be the weekend when you're out there with your brother Matt, and I'll say, "Ah, some idiot beat us to our spot." Oh, it's Dave. Hi, hi, Dave. I'm glad to see you.
That's fun.
Oh man. All right. Well, hey, I've got one more, and then we'll call it a wrap on this. So here is my final resolution, and it's not to make any major expenditures this year.
Forget that.
Well, yeah, because I've already blown it, kind of. So somebody, some friends gave me a gift certificate before Christmas. It was last fall. $100 to a fly shop down in Chicago, and that was really generous, really thoughtful. As you know, there's very few things that you and I need, yes, in all capital letters, need, you know, that's $100. It's more. So one of the things I've decided, I may go back to Alaska this summer to visit my wife's sister, and her family are there, and I had a good time fishing last year, and what I do there is I take my 9'8". Well, it's got a decent reel, but it's one of those cheaper ones. I mean, it works great, $150 reel, but as soon as you drop it and bang it, it's history. So I looked through their catalog, and I've been looking at those Ross Animus reels for my 8-weight rod. So I broke down and bought one, and the $100 gift certificate was great, but
didn't go very
no,
far.
No, it didn't. Not for a reel that was let's just say it was over $350.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then you, Dave, you notice where I'm casting the blame on this. Yeah, you sent me a link where I could buy a pair of Patagonia foot tractors, the old ones that we like, because number one, they're lighter. Number two, the price is lighter. And I realized a couple years ago, I went in to buy some running shoes. Yeah, don't worry, I'm not into running.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is shocking. Oh, but I went into a running store in Libertyville, and they were great. And one of the things they did, they said, let's measure your feet. I said, well, I know my shoe size. Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many people were wrong. Well, they actually suggested that I go with running shoes that were a size larger than what I've worn my whole life. And then I realized I ran into that same issue a few years ago when I bought hiking boots, and I bought a pair that were a whole size larger, and they fit great. So I've realized that the Patagonia foot tractors that I have now, and they're starting to wear out. That's how I justify this. But, you know, they're a size smaller, and it's not like they're terribly uncomfortable, but at the end of the day, I can tell that, you know, my toes have pushed up too far against them. So anyway, I bought a pair of Patagonia foot tractors for, yeah, still that $279 price, which that made me happy, but the fact that I had to break my resolution to do that, yeah, maybe not so good. Well, maybe the problem is I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But seriously, I there's really nothing else that I need unless I go breaking a rod. So.
Yeah, but didn't you also buy a new weighting
stick?
Thanks
a lot.
Could
you cut this part out in case my family is listening? Yeah, I did. And guess whose fault that was? Yours. Well, no, seriously, I had been looking. I thought, I need to get another. I love those Orvis wading staffs and hadn't been able to find one. And I just wanted a backup. So you found some. And so I bought one of those. I actually bought one for my son in
Steve,
Colorado.
You're hopeless.
Yes,
this resolution will never be fulfilled.
Well, maybe from here on out, because I kind of front-loaded all my purchases. So maybe we can check in at the end of the year.
A little check-in?
Yeah, let's do a we ought to do a podcast and say, how well did we do on our resolutions?
Ooh, that would be great.
Let's do that.
All right, that's a great idea.
There we go.
Well, these are really, really good. And I do like the phrase resolution is as opposed to goal. Like a goal might be, I'm going to fly fish 20 days exactly in 2022. Mm-hmm. But this is more, it's a little more abstract and a little more higher level maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe that means that we won't complete them. I don't know.
Yes, that's right.
They always say the more specific your goals, the more likely you'll complete it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So, well, yeah, there you have it. Our fly fishing resolutions for 2024. So let's see how many we can break, keep. So what are your fly fishing resolutions for the year? We hope the new year is a good fly fishing year for you as well. All right, that's all for today. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
Until next time, we are two guys in a river.
For the love of fly fishing.